Please keep your Bibles open there to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 9. But before we do that, we should pray. So let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, please help us to listen to your word of truth. May it be our guide in life. Please renew our minds and hearts by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have you ever had that experience of buying what you thought was the genuine article, only to find it's a fake? I remember travelling through Asia, this was of course pre-COVID, and getting carried away buying all this, you know, genuine apparel, only to find that genuine branded t-shirt was now sloppy at the neck and sort of unthreading down the seams. What was meant to be genuine and strong was weak and flimsy. What was honest and robust was dishonest and fragile. What was meant to be authentic and tough was corrupted and brittle. And what happens when we do that, we're left with a fake and an expensive mistake. And sadly, this is the story of the Galatian churches. Paul had courageously and daringly brought the gospel to this area in modern-day Turkey, bringing life and freedom with him as he proclaimed the genuine gospel message, only to find that there were others who were now trying to come in, trying to set up shop there, getting in amongst the people and trying to sell them a fake gospel. But before we move too deeply into the plot, let me provide you just a little bit of background to this letter. We covered a bit more of it on Thursday night at our Gospel Community Leadership Group meeting at Park Avenue. But here are five things you need to know about Galatians. The first is this was probably Paul's first letter to a church. Secondly, this letter was not to a specific church like you have in Ephesians, where he writes to the church in Ephesus. But this was to churches in a region, in the region of Galatia. Thirdly, this letter, along with 2 Corinthians, is Paul's most biographical letters. And four, even though it's relatively short, Galatians says more about the law than any of his other letters. And finally, number five, the big idea of Galatians that we'll see across this term is that justification, or being made right with God, is by faith alone. Now, the big issue as you read through Galatians is for Paul is not simply the law, but it's what makes you right with God, or what we'll see by the end, by the time we make it to Christmas, that'll be justification by faith alone. Now, with a little of the background let us hear from Pastor Paul as he pleads with his beloved Galatians from Galatians 1, 1 through to 9. Well, straight away, which was common with so many of Paul's later letters, he takes us straight to the gospel. I don't know whether you saw it there. This is from verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here Paul states the true gospel. It's this message that you need saving, that I need saving, that our neighbours need saving, that your mum needs saving. Because where does Paul start in this letter? Well, he starts with these words, grace and peace. Now, these words are loaded with so much meaning. They're words laden with theology. They're words busting and bursting with significance. Because the peace that Paul speaks of is reconciliation. Now, it's peace with God, peace with humanity, peace within us. And then the grace that Paul speaks of is God's free favour. Irrespective of human merit or works, it's God's loving kindness towards the undeserving. Now, this message so far sounds very true and inviting and rich until we scratch below the surface of the historical events that led towards this grace and peace being granted, which was Jesus' death on the cross. The great truth that Paul reveals here, he won't explain it until Galatians chapter 3 in verse 13, where we're told that Christ actually became a curse for us. What he means is that Jesus bore in his righteous person the curse or judgment that our sins deserved. But once we see that Christ gave himself for our sins, well, the logical flow-on to that is that we realize that we're sinners, unable to save ourselves, that we actually have to give up on trusting in our own righteousness or our own rightness. You know how the message of grace and peace sounded good? Well, it's until we understand why do we need this grace? Why do we need this peace that we begin to take offense at this message? Because I don't know about you, but when we hear about this need for saving here that Paul outlines in Galatians 1, you know, we understand that we make mistakes, but you know, I'm not that bad. I mean, surely my goodness must account for something. I mean, surely I can contribute something toward my justification. I mean, there must be something that I can do to help so that I can be right with God. And it was actually this kind of thinking that opened the Galatian churches up for false gospels to spread. And it's the same thinking that opens us up for deceitful gospels to prosper. And it's the same thinking that is within our culture. It's that kind of thinking. It's very, very fertile ground for fraudulent gospels to grow and thrive. But do you remember, what does Paul say of Jesus in verse 4? He said, Jesus rescues us from the present evil age. An Anglican archbishop by the name of J.B. Lightfoot, he said this verb here of rescue strikes the keynote of this letter. He goes on to say the gospel is a rescue. He adds further, the gospel is freedom. Christianity is a rescue religion. Christianity means being rescued from this age and being transferred into the age to come. You see, the purpose of Christ's death, therefore, was not only to bring us forgiveness, but having been forgiven, we should live a new life, the life of the age to come, when the devil is no longer the king of this age, but Christ is the undisputed king of the age to come. I remember talking to the kids coordinator at a large and growing church on the Central Coast called EV, and she was saying how helpful it had been for her that she was clear on what their message was. And she said our pastor would keep reminding us we are on a rescue mission. Christianity is a rescue mission. It's as if we're in the water and the Titanic is sinking. We are in a life raft and we are desperate to see people pulled from the water. But if we're too busy daydreaming about the fine music and the fine food that was served on the Titanic, you know, those beautiful views from the deck, we will miss the emergency that is around us. We need to look around and see that the ship is sinking, that the spirit of this age will not save us. It is sinking. So look around. Who needs saving? Who's in the water? Who's drowning? Who is going down with this age? Do you need saving? It's a confronting message to our independent and our self-assured age. Make no mistake, Christianity's jarring with our age is more than just ethics and sexuality. It is this message: do you need to be saved? It is this message that leads to persecution. So is it a big step for us to be open to false gospels? Not at all. It is very appealing to us. It is very enticing to us. It is very alluring. And it's what the Galatians are believing. Let's see it in verses 6 through to 9. Well, if in Galatians chapter 1, Paul has outlined what the true gospel is, he now goes on to say what the gospel isn't. Have a look at verse 6 with me. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. After just stating the joy of the true gospel and the astounding message of grace, Paul now finds himself astonished that they have deserted this grace. They're moving from true to false, from genuine to imitation, from accurate to incorrect. This desertion that Paul has in mind is to switch camps. It's to change teams. It's to transfer one's allegiance. The image Paul most likely has in mind is the soldier who in the army revolts, or people who change their sides in philosophy or in politics. Paul is so sad and perplexed that this has become the path of the Galatian churches. They've deserted grace. They've deserted the gospel. They've deserted the good news. They've deserted the grace that welcomes undeserved sinners. They're deserting the God who called them by grace. And what are they turning to? Works. Another gospel. A gospel of works. And so what did these false preachers look like? What did they say? It's actually quite surprising. Because they didn't actually deny that you must believe in Jesus for your salvation. But they stressed you must be circumcised. You must keep the law as well. In other words, and if you know your Old Testament, you understand how strong this is. In other words, they're saying you must let Moses finish what Christ has begun. Or even more scary, you must finish by your own obedience to the law what Christ has begun. Now, can I dare to remind you of a history lesson? Apologies to those of you who despise history, but it must be stated that by looking at the past, we can avoid some of the foolishness of our own age. But you may remember our visionary series, our first visionary, Augustine, and the battle that he found himself in towards the end of his life with that brilliant British scholar called Pelagius. Do you remember what Pelagius believed? He believed that each person has the responsibility and the potential to be morally perfect. Now, this is a very popular position in every age, whether it's the first century, you know, the fourth century, or today in the 21st century. It is popular because of its optimism in humanity and the defense of individual freedom, and it promotes a self-help theology. But what Augustine and then Paul before him understood is it doesn't actually promote freedom. It is a stern and it's a chilling idea. It places a crushing waste are weighed upon the individual, because we must ensure our own personal perfection. But if, as the Bible records, we are captive to sin, that we're left alone and isolated, unless someone rescues us from our fallen state. And that's the salvation that Paul outlined in Galatians 1, verse 4. It's the life that Augustine desired. For it was an invitation to a whole new reality. It was to be reborn from and in Christ, to be part of his body and share in his righteousness. This is the true gospel. This is the authentic message. But the Galatians were pursuing a fake. They'd been invited to come and consider true life in Christ, his life for theirs. Instead, now they were staring down the prospect of a fake gospel. They were headed for life. now they're heading for death. I remember a mate who was driving through country New South Wales, and a wombat was running across the road to save its life. But as the car hurtled toward it, it changed direction and started running toward the car. The wombat was on the right path, was headed for life, and now it changed direction and it was headed for a certain death, from life to death. And horrifically, that is the message of Galatians. That is the message of these believers in modern day Turkey. They were headed for life. They were headed for freedom. And now they're being tempted to change direction. Headed for death. Martin Luther, the reformer, once famously said as he reflected on Galatians, "These words are very thunderclaps from heaven against all kinds of righteousness." What did Luther mean? He meant heaven will confront any form of self-righteousness. What does that mean? Well, if you rely on self-perfection, it's a dead end. Or you can grasp hold of the righteous Saviour who will save you and lead you to life. I remember trying to replace a pair of shoes, and no Australian retailers could supply them. So the only option was to jump on the internet, a scary prospect, and buy them online from an overseas store. But as you click that, you know, buy item or icon, you really hope you're not just going to have your money taken away. That's number one. And number two, you really hope that if you do receive this article, this item or these shoes, they're the genuine article. They're exactly the product you were hoping for. They are what they say they are. Because the last thing you want is a fake. But the tragedy of the Galatian churches is that they're in danger of buying this fake. And the consequences of that mistake is much more than losing $100 on an internet scam. It's their salvation that's at stake. So how are we to remain steadfast at Southern Cross? How are we to cling to that genuine article? How are we to stay true to that pure gospel? Well, as I've already said today, we need to remember the true, genuine gospel. When spoken to our age, will not be a popular message. Over the holidays, I just finished reading a biography of John Stott, and he recounts his days as a 21-year-old at Cambridge University, and as he tried to share this good gospel with a roommate. This is what he says. "I was endeavouring to explain the great doctrine of justification by faith alone, that salvation was Christ's free gift. For it was something we could neither buy nor could we contribute to its purchase, for Christ had obtained it for us and was now offering it to us without charge." John Stott goes on, "Suddenly, to my intense astonishment, my friend shouted three times, 'Horrible, horrible, horrible.'" Again, I'm not sure if you remember this, but when Peter Jensen was inducted as the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, he was understandably asked questions about this and that. But then questions moved to politics. And Peter said his concern with the Prime Minister at that time would be his spiritual welfare and whether he was out of step with God. Now, the media went, it was an absolute frenzy. The next page, the front page of the Australian papers said, "Archbishop says Prime Minister is out of step with God." Now, in Peter's defence, he didn't say that. He did say his concern and his responsibility as a spiritual leader would be to help guide the spiritual health of leaders. And that may or may not include the Prime Minister. And yet, this actually is our calling too as Christians, to check on the spiritual health of our friends and family. Now, we must say only God knows people's heart of hearts. But Galatians reminds us our religion is a rescue one, and that we must be steadfast and vigilant and attentive that none are lost. And that is what our Food for Thought week is all about. From Monday the 16th of November this year through to Sunday the 22nd of November, we want to invite our city to meet Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, to rescue us from the present evil age. And it's for this reason we've made plans on Friday the 20th of November to host a breakfast in the city for those of our church family who work down there, so that they might be able to invite colleagues to consider the claims of God's Word, the Bible. We're also aiming to have a lunchtime session at the hospital on Friday the 20th of November with our visiting speaker, Luke Tattersall, and his wife, Deb, who's a practicing GP. Then the week will culminate with three evangelistic gatherings at the Workers' Club main auditorium at 9 a.m., 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. with Luke Tattersall preaching from John's Gospel from chapter 9. There'll be more information to come, but we're very eager and excited about putting Christ and the gospel message right into the heart of our city. Current restrictions would allow us across that Sunday to have 100 adults at each of the gatherings. So 300 adults. And in the morning at 9 and 11, we can have 72 children at each at 9 and 11, so 144 children. That those adults and children could hear the true gospel message. Now, whether we have 300 adults across the day or 144 children, well, it's dependent on the Spirit of God to move very, very deeply in our city, to turn men and women and children's hearts towards God our Father. And our church family's commitment to be a life-saving church, to understand that our church can and must be many things to our city, but it must be a rescuing church. We must not desert the gospel work. We must not desert the fact that Christ died. We must not desert the fact that we are sinners. We must not desert the fact that we need rescuing. We must not desert the fact that our age is sinking like the Titanic. Well, let us pray now that the Holy Spirit might sustain us, grant us great courage, and aid us to speak of Christ, that our city might be rescued. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, we want to thank you that you reached out your arms to save us. More than that, you gave your only Son to rescue us. Father, we are sorry that we are so tempted to pursue self-righteousness, to prove ourselves to others, to prove ourselves to ourselves, to show that we are okay, that we do not need saving, that we can do it ourselves. So please help us now, renewed by the Holy Spirit. May we not just over the course of 1 week in November, but each day of our lives remain steadfast and be ambassadors and heralds of the true gospel. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.